something with you, and I believe the Lord is giving us this title for those of you taking notes. You love Christ, you love his body. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. You love Christ, you love his body. And when we find ourselves walking with the Lord, filled with his Spirit, we're soon going to learn that we are baptized, we are saved and baptized into his body. Christ has a body that's living and functioning. And if we truly love the Lord and are filled with his Spirit and called from the foundation of the world, something within us wants to be part of that living body that is alive today, now, this hour. And for us to open up in this, I'd like us to look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. Verses 16 to 19. And I want to open up with this because this is very applicable for us in these last days that we live in. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. And this is the verse I want to hone into. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begin with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. And we see very clearly why God has brought us into his body, why the body is a type of spiritual ark that God has shown us, where in the days of Noah, he prepared that ark, and he went in with his family, and God saved those souls. So we find ourselves again in these last days, these closing days, where we are being drawn together in fellowship, coming together, because we read here, for judgment begins in the house of God. In other words, God is going to judge first in his house. But this is a different type of judgment. This is where God is dealing with the hearts. He's cleansing us. He's delivering us. He's changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Because we're not going to be judged with the world, because we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. But he still has to do that work, that change. And this is what it means here, in a sense, that judgment begins first in the house of God. But he is going to judge the house of God. He's going to sort out the house of God. He's going to root out the rebellious. He's going to root out those who say they are Christian but are not. He's going to sort out those who are in organized religion, denominationalism, all of the confusion that there is. He's working with all of this so that he will have a remnant, he will have that bride who makes herself ready in these last days. This is another reason why judgment is beginning first in the house of God, so that we are protected, preserved, when the great final judgment falls upon the earth. And of course we read that in the book of Revelation. So in actual fact, God is preserving us. He's delivering us from the final judgment of these last days. And this is why we're being purged. This is why we're being changed. This is why we're being worked on. This is why we go through our spiritual trials, so that God is working with us to preserve and keep a remnant in the last days. Because if God doesn't keep a remnant, no flesh will be saved. And we've seen through history where when God judges, he has to save souls. The same in the time of Noah. God saved those 8 souls. So is a parallel again today that he's going to save a remnant. And this is what he's doing. Jesus said that in the last days it will be like the times of Noah, like the times of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so God again is cleansing. We see where Noah, he warned the people and he built that ark for 120 years. That was a type of cleansing, that was a type of working, that was a walk of faith, trusting God. So we see that parallel today, where we too are walking and trusting God. It looks ridiculous in the natural. It looks stupid. We are laughable to the world. They will say to us, what are you doing, just a group of you, meeting week after week? Here is a fine parallel tonight, if you look at it. Here we are, we have a matter of what, 9 people, 10 people who are in this room listening to this message, and yet we look at other rooms where they've got maybe 30, 40 or 50 are listening to messages or whatever it is. So here is an example of what I'm talking about tonight. How many want to come into this room? How many want to listen to this message tonight? Most don't want to listen to it, because they laugh at it. They don't understand it. But you and I have been given a heart. Our eyes and ears have been opened to the last day call set on our lives. And so God has placed that fear within us. God has placed that faith within us, so that we are preparing, we are overcoming, we are building. And if you love Christ, you love his body. And if you love his body, then you are going to build with him. And that building is where the bride is making herself ready for the last days, putting on those robes of righteousness. But how many are listening to this? How many want it? Most reject it. What have we done, brothers and sisters, to deserve this? Absolutely nothing. This is all the grace and mercy of God. I don't understand it. I don't understand how God has opened my ears and eyes and heart, but I know I hear this, and I know it's true, and if you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. And the deeper life and the call to overcome is a message of preparation. And this message of preparation is where God is restoring. He's restoring, bringing us back. Bringing us back into the fold. Bringing us back under the fivefold ministry of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher. I don't know how fully God is going to manifest this, but we know he will. He will manifest the sons of God in the last days. And he will show this unbelieving world and this unbelieving church, the woman that is left behind, that the sons of God have prepared themselves, because they've heard the message, the call to overcome. Why? If you love Christ, you love his body. And this is why judgment begins first in the house of God. And sometimes it seems as though God is dealing harshly with us. It seems as though, well, why me, Lord? Others seem to get away with it. It's because God loves us. And that judgment causes us to overcome, causes us to seek God, causes us to keep our knees bowed in his presence so that he can work with us. That's why. I wonder if we realize the purpose of his body, the church. I wonder if people really are understanding and appreciating this body that we are a member of, that we have been baptized into. I think as we go on more and more, we're going to value our fellowship. We're going to see to a greater degree the importance of our fellowship and why God called us like he did. And how wonderfully we are set together, as few as there be of us, but we are set together, functioning with him as our head over us. We wonder at times why there's so few of us, but God doesn't make a mistake. And when we are doubting, or when we are wondering or questioning, we just have to come back to the fact God doesn't make any mistake. We are in the perfect will and plan of God, because God loves us, and his love towards us is his perfect plan, as he's revealing this to us. And I want to look under three areas about our fellowship. If you love Christ, then you love his body. Now, a lot of this, of course, we know. But firstly, our love for Christ, our love for his body, is firstly that it's for the establishment of ministry. Jesus commissioned the disciples to make citizens of the kingdom of God through the teaching of his word. And that principle is still the same. That is what we're doing tonight. That is what we do. We have been called to teach, to share the kingdom of God through the teaching of his word. And that's why God anoints ministry. That is why he has blessed us with his word, because his word is revealing his kingdom to us and all others who want to listen about his kingdom. And yet we find to listen about his kingdom, to learn about his kingdom, we even have to be called from the foundation of the world, in which he calls us to put that affection within our hearts that we want more of his kingdom. And of course, we know the great callings of this. Let's just look at scriptures to remind ourselves of what his plan is to establish ministry for this great commission. In Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And brothers and sisters, only that has partly been fulfilled through the former reign. But we're waiting now for the latter rain, so that it will be finally completed and finished. We don't know how he's going to do this. At the moment, he has not revealed anything yet further. What he is asking of us is to remain faithful, to meet regularly, whether it be like it is like tonight, or on Sundays when we come together for fellowship. But the point is that we come, we remain faithful, we come under his headship, we come listening to the word of God, because the word of God is going to be established in and through us. We are God's point of contacts on the earth, filled with the Holy Spirit. Each one of us is God working, establishing the teaching of his kingdom through us, through each of us, and others who love the Lord Jesus Christ and those who are called by him. We are, in effect, those points of contact. We are the mouthpiece. We speak it forth. We are custodians of the revelation that pertains to the kingdom of God. This is how God has always worked it. He worked it through Israel. Out of all nations, God loved Israel. Israel were to be teachers to the world, to teach them the kingdom of God, to teach the world the revelation of God. And of course, we know that they rejected that. But that principle, how God works, doesn't change. In actual fact, we have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowering for this. So this is how man knows. Man knows about the kingdom of God. Man knows about the revelation of God because he uses men and women of which to reveal it to the world. That's how they know. That's why Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." And you will find even tonight, as we are here in this room, some you will see come in, some will stay for a minute, and some will go. Some will stay to the end and say they are blessed. But some don't hear, and some do. You're staying, do you know why? Because you hear. You have been called for this from the foundation of the world. And this is why it is so profound. This is why we can never stop praising and thanking God that he first loved us and put it in our hearts. You and I, brothers and sisters, we are custodians to the revelation, the teaching in these last days. We have been given this not by flesh and blood, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And some will hear and some won't. And what we are preaching, what we are sharing, is what pertains to the kingdom of God. And that is what the Lord gave to the disciples here. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples." You can only go when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's why that word "go" is on us. God isn't stopping. God isn't blocking our mouthpiece. We have every advantage every day in our walk, our life, to share this good news. And we believe God that he will do it. But he's also raising the fivefold ministry, which share and teach the deeper word, the deeper revelation of his word, which of course is what we're doing tonight. But we are finding also that there is a time for this. There is a time for the latter rain, and that will be an anointing. That will be an unveiling. That will come at the appropriate time when the world is ready, when Christendom is ready, when we are ready. There is going to come a time for this when we're going to then see the greater works. We're going to see the latter rain being poured out for the last days. We are being prepared, brothers and sisters. We are waiting in the wings. Everyone at the moment is on the stage, having their say, doing their bit and everything. And God is using it, yes. But he will have his final show. And that's what we're being prepared for. That's why we're hid. We're not seen at the moment. Because we're told that we'll be types of saviors for the last days. We will be mouthpieces. We will have revelation of the kingdom of God. God will be with us, confirming the word with signs. This will be a type of saving of the elect to the world. Are we seeing it at the moment? No. A lot of it is going so desperately wrong. This is why we don't want to be a part of it. This is why, sadly, when we hear and see so much of this, we just know that this isn't God's plan. Most, sadly, do not have an understanding of the body of Christ. Why, we're still even learning about the function of the body of Christ. But most, I can tell you, do not understand the body of Christ. Why don't they understand the body of Christ? Because a lot of them don't love Jesus as they should. If you really love Jesus, then you will love his body and you start to have a revelation of his body. And the reason people don't love Jesus Christ is because it comes down to discipleship. They've not settled it. And why don't they settle it? Because they're taught not to settle it. That's the tragedy. But praise God, he has got a remnant around the world who do love the Lord and who are getting a revelation and understanding of his body. It's an unveiling. It is a mystery. As the church, in a sense, was a mystery under the Old Testament, the children of Israel were a type of church, a type of called out nation. So it's being unveiled again in these last days. There's been centuries of which the church has been hid. Centuries where, under confusion, denominationalism, all of that, the enemy knows what he's doing. Why has the enemy attacked more than anything the revelation of what the church is and should be and what it stands for? Why has he attacked that? Have you ever thought about that? He knows that if Christians have a revelation, understanding of the body, that is the body of Christ, Christ's body, he knows that that body, the revelation of his body, is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that empowerment of the Holy Spirit puts down Satan's kingdom. Christ's body, the revelation of his body, which is the doorway into the kingdom of God, is establishing and putting down Satan's kingdom. That's why he attacks like he does. And he doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want full gospel assembly to do that. This is why I keep emphasizing and saying that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. We have to put in force what pertains to the kingdom of God, what God has given to us through Jesus Christ, what God is giving to us through our fellowship as we love Christ. So we love his body, what he's giving to us. This is why the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And if you love Christ, then you love his body. And if you love his body, you're going to see also what his body accomplishes on the earth. What we're being prepared for. This is why we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is why we speak in tongues, the outpouring of the Spirit in the last days. It's in preparation to divide Satan's kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the revelation that Christ gave to the church, to the disciples, when they asked the Lord how to pray. Most still don't see it. They see it as just a prayer, a formality, something you say. We have to enter into this spiritually, brothers and sisters. And that is what God is preparing and doing. I can only speak this for Gospel Assembly, but I'm sure God is speaking this to others who love the Lord, to know where I'm coming from. We also see the Great Commission, again in Mark 16. Mark 16, verses 15 to 18. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. There you are. You know this very, very well. And verse 18, he gives protection to the church. They will take up and it says, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Here's God preserving and keeping the church. That's why we're being preserved and kept, brothers and sisters. And that is authority that God has given to us on the basis of go. There's still at times we don't believe. He's still working with our faith, rooting out this unbelief. But he's getting us there. And this is why he's raising up and the fivefold ministry, to reveal God's grace and mercy, because that is the message of this last day. That message to go, which we preach, the deeper life, is a message of mercy and grace. Ephesians 3, verses 8 to 11. That is the good news. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 to 11, which says, to me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations, for which is your glory. There you are. That's our message. That is what we're empowered. That is what we're given. That's what we go forth and proclaim. And this is what he's saying to the Gentile church. This is part of the Great Commission. Again, let's just look at some of the things that he says in here. And he says, and to make all see, verse 9, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So it's a mystery. Our fellowship is a mystery. Not all see it. The same as Israel's fellowship, calling in the wilderness, a type of church, was a mystery. So it's being revealed. It's being shown. And it has to be shown through you and me and all those who love Christ, who are part of his body. It's God revealing this through us, this mystery. It's not some man work out. It's as you yield over, the life of Christ that's in us reveals this mystery. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. In other words, this fellowship, this body and other bodies may be revealed to the powers of darkness, may be a reminder to Satan that he is under our feet. And soon God's kingdom is to be established upon the earth. It is to be a reminder to the principalities and powers, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is what God is doing. Now, brothers and sisters, do you believe this or not? Because this comes as a result of our belief, our faith. Do we believe that we have been empowered? That Satan now serves the body of Christ. He's under our feet. Christ did it for us at the cross. This is why we look to the cross. We look to Calvary. There's something that discipleship has got a bit wrong, I believe. We hear much about taking up our cross and following Christ, and indeed that's absolutely right. But discipleship, that death to the self-life, that taking up of our cross, is so that we get out the way that God can manifest in and through us. We get out the way so that we start to be that example to the powers of darkness. We somehow got that idea, well, I've got to take it up each day and I've got to die to the self-life and so forth, which is absolutely right. But we're not looking to see what is accomplished as a result of our taking up our cross. If we know that we die daily, then what comes from death comes resurrection. And we're not moving into that resurrection. And this is why we get downhearted. This is why at times we feel we can't walk this walk, because all we're ever seeing is just death. We do die daily. That's what the Bible says. But if you're going to just stop at that and keep looking at that, and let the devil let you look at that, he'll hinder you at just seeing, oh, it's always death, it's all death, death, death all the time. Satan's laughing. He's got you. But if you're going to see what death brings, which is resurrection, then you're going to start to see what resurrection brings. Because with resurrection comes revelation from God. With resurrection comes empowerment, faith, belief. With resurrection, we then begin to see that the powers of darkness are under our feet. And as a result, you begin to move in that authority and anointing. But somehow the enemy tries to keep us looking to the past, held in the past. Well, that didn't work. I tried it and it all went wrong and so forth and everything. Satan is a master at trying to keep us down, keep us looking to self, keep us looking to failures and so forth. But if you're looking truly at what death brings, which is eventually resurrection, you then move into it. It's an experience. It's a walk. Because Christ has risen from the dead. That is why we look to Calvary. We look to Calvary because Calvary is also resurrection. That is the good news of the gospel. And so if you love Christ, you love his body. And secondly, looking at this, the body is for the manifestation of his glory, which means that if we're experiencing his glory upon us, in us and through us, then we have a good news to share with the world. And it's all about glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, who is head over us. The reason that we're here tonight, the reason that I'm here tonight, the reason I share this word with you tonight is because of God's glory. That is why. If our meeting, our fellowship, does not glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's no point in us meeting. There's no point in us coming together. But it is secondly for the glory of God. If you love Christ, then you love his body. Let's look at some scriptures at this. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You are to shine as lights in the world. That's a reason why we come together. We're a manifestation of God's glory shining in and through each one of us. John chapter 9 and verse 5. John chapter 9 and verse 5, which says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as the church is in the world, we are the light of the world. That's what you can say also. As long as we, Full Gospel Assembly and other assemblies who love the Lord, we are the light in the world. If we don't exist and others don't exist, there's no light. This is why I said earlier, we, you, each one of us is a point of contact. Calvary, the cross, was God's point of contact from heaven, the spiritual realm, to the earth. And that point of contact raised our Lord and Savior, triumphing over death. And you likewise now are God's point of contact, and that is why you are sealed, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are preserved, you are a light shining in the world of darkness. Now don't get your mind into it, don't get your logic into it, because you will never understand what I'm trying to say if you try and receive this in the flesh. We simply believe it. We simply receive it on the basis of faith. God has said it in his word. That's good enough. God knows how to do the rest. The reason we get down and depressed, because we're still trying to logically understand all these great mysteries and truths that are profound. Just trust and believe with that simple childlike faith. I don't know how God does it, will do it. I don't even know how he's going to do it through me or even through this assembly. But he says that he will, and he is. That's why we stick together and have fellowship like we do one with another. Because it's about his glory. What does it say in John 17? Is Christ's priestly prayer that he prayed over all of us. John 17 and verse 10. John 17 and verse 10. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. That's what he said. They're mine, they're yours, and I'm glorified in them. I don't know how God does it, but he says that he is, and he will. Let's carry on with this. Verses 22-23 of the same chapter. 22-23. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. And that's why, brothers and sisters, I suggest to you that if we want to start to experience that glory, and that glory seen in and through us, then that is another good reason why we stick together, we come together in fellowship regularly, because it is about his glory. The body is for the manifestation of his glory. Finally, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, which says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. God's glory cannot be hidden, and it will not be hidden. And that's why we're preserved and kept, because this is all about God's glory. And God will glorify his name. God will glorify his Son through his believers. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he says, there am I. So that is the second reason for why we come together. If you love Christ, you love his body. You love everything about his body. Everything that he works in his body. You love every member. You don't treat one member better than the other. We are all equal, the same, one in Christ Jesus, in our fellowship, in our unity, and in our oneness. Because it's about God's glory. And thirdly and finally, the body exists, and I've been giving some of this out already, but thirdly, the body exists for fellowship. That Greek word koinonia. It is for fellowship. And of course we know familiar scriptures on this in Acts chapter 2 verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And we see how God worked the fear of God in them and added souls and so forth. And that's principally what we do the same. We come together. This is why this church and others in its teaching and the nature of what God is doing as he's restoring is apostolic. We come together in fellowship, breaking bread, feasting around the word in prayers and intercession. This is why it's important. This is why it's important we keep prayer going. That we come together, we pray also. And of course we see now the next event of what God's doing. We've come away from the hall. We're now going, just like it is in the early church, we're going back into our homes where we can give our fellowship time without rushing, without just having 3 hours like we had, so that we can give time. We can give time for the Holy Spirit to work, so that we can have time in his presence as he works, as he speaks to us, as he deals with us, so we can give time one for another, and so on. We're going to see things coming out of this. It's vital that we give ourselves time for this, for fellowship. Fellowship can't be rushed. It can't be pushed. It can't be controlled as so many churches try to do. True relationships are not relationships that are controlled. A relationship cannot last if it's about control. And this is why, sadly, we see marriages breaking up, one in three that break up, because so much in relationship is about the husband trying to control the wife, or the wife trying to control the husband. And so that fellowship, that relationship can't flourish. And it's principally the same. You can't have control in the body of Christ. You can't have one that's trying to control the rest or causing problems. Because fellowship can't blossom. It can't grow in that environment. And of course, this is where the enemy works. We know where there's control. We know what it is. The Bible calls it witchcraft. And God is judging witchcraft in the house of God. He's not going to have it. We've seen over the years how God has been judging that over this assembly. And sadly, he's had to remove some. Why has he had to remove some? Because they hinder fellowship. It stops the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts. Fellowship, our coming together, reveals the love of God that we need to draw from, to grow, to develop, to mature into the sons of God. John 14, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is a stepping stone. Our fellowship, koinonia, coming together is a stepping stone for Christ to come back and receive us and finally take us home. That's why we fellowship together, waiting for that experience. As we look up, as our redemption draws nigh. This is why we don't want the things in this world. This is why the world can't give us what Christ has promised. The world can't give us this true fellowship and harmony that we have with Christ and with each other. This is why we draw from our fellowship, because we're drawing from the life that is in my brother, my sister. That is Jesus that is in them. And I draw from that the same as you draw from me. Why do we draw from that? Because Jesus said, out of our innermost beings shall flow those rivers of living water. That's why we want fellowship. We need that fellowship one with another. Because it's living water, it's life to us. Our families can't give us that. And there are times our families get in the way, and we put them first to our fellowship, but we find that they can't give life. That's why the sword came down in the family. That's precisely why Jesus brought the sword down. Dividing husband, wife, sister, aunt, and so forth. Because you can't draw life from that. It's a false security. We can only draw true security, true life, through fellowship one with another. That's why we always have to put this first. And our meetings, we put first. Our coming together, we put first, because we draw life from this. This is what helps to keep us separate from the world, untainted from the world. This is why we can pray one for another, that we might be healed, taking on the burdens of intercession and so forth. This is what helps keep us separate from the spirit of this age, that will otherwise try and draw us and seduce us and take us away, you see. More and more we're going to see the value of our fellowship as we go on with this. And finally, in John 17, going back to John 17 again, and verse 24. John 17 and verse 24, of which he says, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So he says here, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. This is why flesh and blood can't reveal this. We have to be shown this. And Jesus prayed this, and he wants to reveal his glory, the glory that is in the kingdom of God, his kingdom. It's an unveiling. It's a revealing. And I believe we're being prepared for the next step. Now we've come away, we're going back into our homes, there's more glory that he's going to reveal to us. He's going to start to show us more and more about why it is we come together, why each of us are set in this body, baptized to function, to minister. We're going to see a lot more before we finally see the greater works coming. I know we want that. We want to see souls saved. We want to see healings. We want to see all and more. But there is something still God has to reveal to us that we have to see. Otherwise, we're not really taking a good message to this world. The trouble is that a lot of Christendom today, the message it's taking is an organization, or some man's ministry, or someone's testimony, or whatever it is. They're taking flesh to flesh. God isn't going to have that. What we take to the world is the spirit to flesh. And there's a difference, because it's not by might nor by power. It is by my spirit, says the Lord. And God is going to accomplish it. He's going to do it, brothers and sisters. And it's the time is finished where you're looking to someone else, where God is going to work it through, whatever it is. No, you look to yourself and say, here am I, Lord. Work it, do it through me. I am available. That is what sonship is about. Sonship is no longer looking to anyone else. Sonship is rising up in that sonship and saying, here am I, use me. Hallelujah. You love Christ, you love his body. Heavenly Father, again tonight, Lord, you have spoken to us. You've shown us very clearly why we come together, why we're here, why we're listening to your word. We've heard tonight, Father, what you desire to accomplish in and through each one of us. Lord, help us not to look in the flesh. Help us not to be moved by feelings or emotions. Help us, Father, tonight, what we've heard, to just take it by faith. And you will work the rest. You don't want our logic. You don't want our ideas. You don't want in any way us interfering. It's as we yield over, we yield to the power of God, the life of Christ that's in us, who glorifies his name. That is all it's about. And so again, Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for working in our hearts to come into this room to listen to your word. Father, I pray the blood of Jesus over us. Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus Christ we were healed at Calvary. I thank you, Father, that all the promises of God are yes and amen. I thank you, Father, that the work you've started you will complete and finish. Whatever our trial, whatever we're going through, Lord, each one of us are. Some of us in this body are going through desperate, deep trials, Lord. But Father, you are preserving and keeping us, for you have a higher purpose, a higher plan. It is something that the world cannot reveal, Father. It comes by revelation. It comes as we keep our eyes looking to Jesus, Father. Many times we come, Lord, to the end of ourselves. Many times we come where we just feel we can't go on. We've had enough, Lord. But Father, you have a way of just working in and through us. You have a way, Father, of revealing the resurrection through our flesh, through our lives, rising up through us, raising us up in Christ Jesus, Lord. Father, we thank you for this. As we decrease, you increase. And so, Lord, I thank you that we will have a blessed week. We will be those lights in this world of darkness. And thank you for this time of fellowship till we assemble again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Mighty Jesus. Well, praise God. Thank you again for your time. It's been a blessing to have you all in the room. I just want to say before we I hand the mic over to Jackie, there's a slight change in plans. We are going to have our meeting at Sister Daphne's on Sunday. We start to assemble round about 10:45, and we shall have our meeting there in her house. So we look forward to that, and again we'll sort of have a meal, a type of buffet. So if you want to bring something along, it would be greatly appreciated. So until then, have a blessed week.